I'm going to teach the book of Luke pretty soon, and the book of John, and then the book of Revelation, and then we'll have the whole New Testament. You listen to that, you'll get schooled in Christian doctrine. Don't listen to these other preachers who don't even teach the Bible. They don't even know what they're talking about, because God hasn't even given them his spirit that they should understand. The centurion was amazed because Christ laid his life down when he didn't have to die yet. You understand, when you're crucified, you're in a completely powerless position. You don't have your hands. You can't kill yourself. You might pass out for a while. You might, you know, eventually, you might have certain, you know, so on, but you can't just willfully die. The point of the cross is to make people suffer for a long time. And they broke their legs to hasten the death. But if you could end it any time, you would. You know, if they could end their suffering up there willfully, they would. Christ did, and the centurion marveled at it. And Pilate marveled. What, he's dead already? Wow. Because he didn't, it wasn't a question of his weakness, or because of the, if it had been such a scourging as in the Passion, he would have said, I'm surprised he even made it to the cross. But he was astonished that he had died already, because the scourging they gave him wasn't as bad as they show in that movie. That's what I object, because they almost I'm not the one detracting from Christ's suffering. They are, by portraying some ridiculous Hollywood hyperbole of his sufferings. And it's a hyperbole. And if you don't like what I'm saying, well then, you know what? You're not in tune with reality. And I'm interested in the truth. I'm not interested in exaggerations of the truth. I'm interested in what really happened. On the cross, Christ laid his life down, and they marveled at him. Because it was as he said. Look it up in John 10. I have power to lay down my life. I have power to take it again. He lays down his life willfully. Because he's into it. Not that he really wanted to, but because, and like I said, it's not the dying he wanted to avoid. It was all this other stuff. But how must the scriptures be fulfilled? How will they be fulfilled? He must suffer many things. We read it. Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. There are a few others. Those are the principal witnesses. Those two. Read those again and again. Think to yourself. And then look at the shroud and think. Read the research. Look at it. Consider the possibility. And then you think, wow. If Jesus was really a historical figure who really went through this, then these prophecies definitely point to the fact that this is, there's something to this story. There's some power behind this word given. This man was something special. Truly, this was the Son of God. The centurion could see it just by the way he died. Because he did it as he when he willed. I'm sure everyone, they were all having fun with him. They thought they'd mock him for a few more hours. And all of a sudden he gave up the ghost and they're like, whoa. I like the guy who gave him the sponge and said, let alone. Let's see if Elijah will come and take him down. You know, I imagine some people in the crowd were just sort of like, they went along with crucify him, and they liked the miracles too, and they thought, yeah, maybe Elijah will come. Maybe Elijah will rescue him. Wow, one more miracle from Jesus. This is so exciting. Joseph of Arimathea fulfills another scripture from Isaiah chapter 53, because he was with the rich in his death. He was in a rich man's tomb. Another scripture fulfilled. This is the man who took him. Verse 46. He got the body. And also, Joseph also procured everything. He loved the Messiah. He believed in Jesus. Even in his death. Here's how much he believed. Because I'll tell you what. You look at the book done by Mary and Alan Wanger about the Shroud of Turin, where they go through in the off-body image areas where they've found images of hammers and the nails and everything to do with his crucifixion. Because the Jews were very particular and he would have wanted to collect everything that had Jesus' blood on it to bury with the body. Everything that had blood on it would be buried with him. Or that would be the most traditional way to do it. That would be the most orthodox thing to do, you know. And he really wanted to give Jesus that full rite of burial. And he bought fine linen. He bought a very fine linen. It's still with us today. It was so finely made. And the herringbone weave on it is a very fine weave. And it was done in those days. It was expensive. And he took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock. and rolled a stone to the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. The women were following and watching. And Joseph was very bold. He was an important man, a member of the Sanhedrin. Usually when they portray the trial, they portray Joseph of Arimathea attempting to speak up for Christ and being shouted down. And I was like that because he's definitely a very white character in all of this. He comes and gets the body of Jesus, wraps it in that linen. People say, well, how come there's no mention of the Shroud of Turin? Well, it could be a lot of reasons. One could be the need for secrecy, lest that thing be sought to be destroyed. The other could be they might not have noticed. I mean, you don't immediately say, oh, he rose from the dead. Let's look and see if there are any special markings on the cloth. Also, it should be noted that the body image on the cloth is not visible from close up. It wouldn't look like, you wouldn't notice that it had his full-size image on it, because from close up you just don't see it. You have to stand back. And it's doubtful that someone would be like, hang that flat. Remember, it's a 14-foot long cloth. Hang that up. Let's stand back and take a look at it. It might have been some time before someone even noticed. And the Jews would have thought of it as an unclean thing. So the mystery of it is a mystery. But it existed, and it still exists to this day. God left a witness of the resurrection of Christ. Does it prove the resurrection? How can it prove anything such as a miracle? Miracles can't be proved because science does not detect miracles. And therefore, it would just be inexplainable. And I'm not saying it is unexplainable, meaning the body image is on the shroud. Maybe there's some perfectly logical explanation. But it also begs the question, well, why don't we have lots of these things if these things occur naturally? Well, even if it was a natural phenomenon that caused the images, I know the blood is natural. It would still beg the question, this Jesus, I guess he was crucified then. Who is it? It's very suggestive. Very suggestive.